Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org. This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Are you in a mixed marriage or relationship, mixed in the political sense, a liberal Democrat who has a life journey with a conservative Republican? And then how are you dealing with the tensions and all that disinformation flowing in this election? Have you figured out a way to still get along? Are there some ground rules? What's working out for you? Please share them. Or has the politics knocked the wheels off your relationship with some members of your family? We're joined by Colette Jane Fair, a licensed marriage and family therapist who has helped thousands and hundreds of couples work their way through the differences and fall in love again. And Colette, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
So how are you seeing these days? Are you having people come to you and saying, please help me because things are not working out?
Yes, in general or related to politics, because I'm seeing both.
Yeah, politics. What's happening with politics?
Yeah, I think there are some people who are in opposite party relationships, which is arguably more challenging now than ever. And then there are other people who maybe they're even independent or they're not voting for a different candidate, but they see the political issues differently. And some of these issues feel very personal. So it can become divisive if they don't know how to talk about those differences in a healthy way.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question or comment, I definitely want to hear from folks out there. Do you have a relationship where your partner has a different political point of view? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Are you able to get along, or are you able to talk about politics? Are you just have to like keep it on the down low, or are you just sort of just going along? And when one partner starts saying things that you just don't agree with, you just keep it to yourself just to maintain the peace. And I don't know how healthy that is. Colette, right. Is that something that you would say, you know, people just keep your mouth shut, let your partner spout off? Is that healthy?
So it's a great question. And I think you've got to know yourself and the issues. I don't think it's healthy as a blanket term to avoid conflict. Part of the most beautiful aspect of a relationship is that we can grow. And we do that by addressing our differences and creating a safe space where we're respectful and curious. So what I would suggest is getting curious instead of confrontational and having the conversations that you can have without getting too activated. So if you know there's a particular issue that anytime you hear what your partner has to say about it, it's too much for you and it overwhelms your nervous system, then that might be something you proactively address by saying, you know, I really want to hear more about your perspective, but when it comes to this issue, I think it starts to come between us and I'd rather save that for another time. It's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Let's go to a caller, Suzanne. And Suzanne, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, yes. Thank you so much for your program. Having a problem with family member, sister, who's, I'm a registered independent, but I see that she's in a cult, and the cult leader is a rapist and convicted felon for sexual assault, and I just don't even know how to have a dialogue with her.
And how often do you have to interface with her, Suzanne?
Well, we've done pretty good for 4 years just because I kept my mouth shut, but then a couple of weeks ago when she went on about how FEMA and the government weren't helping states from the hurricanes and with hurricane relief, when all the governors and Republican senators came out and said, no, they are helping. The government and FEMA are helping. And she just said that they weren't helping. I just kind of lost it with the lies and the truths. The disinformation.
Do you think you're going to be able to patch things up after the election?
I don't know. I mean, are we going to be in a civil war?
No, we will not be in a civil war. I promise you.
Good. That's reassuring. And I hope there's no Russian interference also. So I don't know. I don't know what it's become. I'm going to try and remain positive and, you know, I love my sister dearly, but I wish she weren't in this cult.
All right, Suzanne, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, and good luck to you with that. So, Colette, what do you say to Suzanne?
So if your sister is in a cult, then she's under brainwashing conditions, and it's unlikely that anything will get through in terms of the issues. I mean, that is a very complex and challenging. That's a whole nother layer. So getting into a conversation where she presents facts, even if they have been indisputably proven, is unlikely to go anywhere because it becomes a serious emotional issue instead. And I think there's probably also a lot of concern for her sister's safety, but that's one where I would say trying to get into the issues and get anywhere is futile.
Yeah. So in my own, when I grew up, my mother was a very big liberal Democrat. She ran a downtown homeless soup kitchen. And she also was president of the League of Women Voters. She was very active in politics. My dad, on the other hand, was a Pat Buchanan Republican, George Will, you know, William F. Buckley kind of a guy. And so they're very different politically, but they made it work in the House. They never really talked about politics, at least not in front of the children. And it never got in the way of my mother's activism. And actually, I kind of learned a lot from both.
I bet. It sounds like they had respect for one another's differences, and they allowed each other to be individuals within the relationship, and probably modeled something really healthy and beautiful for you.
Yeah, that's true. And then over the years, I saw my father softening his point of view when, you know, a lot of those positions that he thought were, you know, correct turned out to be incorrect. But, you know,
right.
You just let time, you know, solve these issues. But, you know, arguing about this stuff in front of the kids, you know, that's got to be something really off the table, I would think.
Yes. And again, it's how you do it, how you say it. So if we're using arguing to mean a healthy debate that demonstrates respect, then that could be great for your kids to see, oh, mom has one view and dad has another. And look at how they're able to talk about that and tolerate each other's viewpoints. But if you're going to get into an argument that devolves, that's not good for your children and likely will scare them and teach them that conflict is something to be avoided, which we know in the end destroys relationships, to your point at the beginning of the show. And I relate to what you're saying, David, because my mom is now extremely liberal and my dad's pretty conservative. And they started out more in the same page years ago. They were both Republicans. And now they really can't even talk about the issues without getting into some kind of argument. Now, they're not married anymore, I should say, but they're friends. They're still friends. But it's really become a problem in our family that we have to set some boundaries around.
Yeah, and I can imagine during holidays, things can be difficult, especially if someone insists on keeping one of these 24-hour news channels going on in the background.
Right.
That's typically a source of conflict. Let's go to another caller. Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We want to hear how your family is dealing with the political divide. And let's go to Claiborne. And Claiborne, you're on the air.
Hi. I find it's easiest to just let things slide by, and part of it is because we're now in an age where people don't understand or we're not taught debate discourse, i.e. you debate the proposition, not the person, and it's this is what I believe and why. And then we have a lot of people that are unencumbered by objective reality.
So tell me more.
Again, these days, people are arguing to win. They're basically, quote unquote, fighting as opposed to arguing a proposition.
Oh, okay. All right. So thank you for that call. So, Colette, you know, if people are arguing with someone they love about these political items, I mean, you're not going to change the world with that argument against, you know, your wife or husband.
Right.
So why do they act like the stakes are so high?
Yeah, these things have become so personal. Politics are more personal than ever, and it really can push people's buttons. But if you shift the focus from debating the issue, trying to win, or trying to change someone's mind, which is really impossible anyway, regardless of facts, and get curious instead by asking, can you help me understand how you came to believe what you believe? That invites stories. And stories allow us to have empathy for people, even if we disagree with their viewpoint. So it takes it out of the vague and brings it into something where, okay, maybe we understand when we hear grandpa's story about why he really believes that gun control is bad, for example. We might not agree, and we might be a proponent of gun control, but then we can suddenly relate to grandpa's experience. And once we have empathy, it really diffuses the vitriol, and we can connect to people despite our differences.
Well, when I deal with, like, say, like grandpa, I do think about everything that he's gone through in life.
Yeah.
And it's not been easy for him the entire time. And then I also recognize that he's older and he has less serotonin being produced in the brain, and he's got all these
Very
other
true.
Things going on. And so I'm willing to give him slack.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point, David. Giving people we love some grace. Now, if somebody's coming at you, attacking you, challenging your perspective, that's a place to maybe hold a boundary or realize that's not someone you can have that kind of conversation with.
All right. So we're going to keep talking about this. Our phone lines are open. We do want to hear from our listeners about how you are dealing with a political divide. Are you in a mixed marriage, a Democrat and a Republican? And how are you getting along these next week? And then, you know, that we will get through this election, and we don't want to sacrifice relationships with the people that we love and admire and respect along the way. So the number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. We're going to take a 1 minute break and the source comes back. Stay with us. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're joined by licensed marriage and family therapist Colette Jane Fehr. Fehr is spelled F-E-H-R. You can find her online, and she helps lots of couples dealing with differences and helps them fall in love again. And right now, people are having differences over politics, and we want to hear how you're dealing with the political divide and with your life partner and other people in your family. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Patty. And Patty, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm currently not married, but I used to be on a dating site, and I'm not into our current Republican candidate and never have been. I think he's disrespectful to women. And I put it right in my profile. If you're into this individual, we won't, you know, don't waste your time. But I would get men, you know, berating me, you know. I just could never understand what's the point of coming on. I said, see, you don't disrespect me either because I said, don't contact me. So it's like, why is it so people just want to shove somebody down your throat when you just, we're not into each other. We don't have the same, even when you try to get out of that, they still want to come at you. And it drives me crazy.
Well, Patty, sorry to hear that. You know, I had the same experience. I put this online. On X, that we're going to have this conversation. And then I got a comment from somebody saying, just dump the C word. And, you know, it's like the hostility and the negativity. And it's like, what doesn't have to be that way. You know, we've got to share the planet together, and we can't be dividing each other over this stuff. So what's your reaction to that, Colette?
Well, I'm really sorry to hear that happen. It's so disappointing that people are so hateful. And of course, once it's behind the scenes on the internet or a dating app, they don't have to say this to your face, and it's so much easier to lash out. But we're seeing some of this hatred being spread in person as well. I commend you for being upfront about where you stand and saying, you know, this is what I'm looking for in a partner and what I'm not looking for. And I think we've just all got to accept, unfortunately, that even though it shouldn't be this way, especially when it comes to online discourse, there's a lot of people out there who get really ugly, and it's a very uncourageous position to take.
So couples come together. They think they've found someone who is sharing, caring, understanding, mm-hmm. compassionate. And then they find out, oh, but you're of that other political party. I thought I mm-hmm. knew you. I mean, is that party thing really a deal breaker, Colette?
For some people it is, because I think there's more identity politics than there ever has been. So if somebody believes these are my values and the party that I vote with or the candidate I'm voting for is representative of my collective values, then they may see somebody voting for the other candidate as a threat to their identity. It doesn't have to be that way, though. If you feel confident in your viewpoint and somebody else sees it differently, you can agree to disagree. And it can be very powerful to say that directly. You know, I don't agree with your stance on this issue, and it's very important to me, but I respect your right to have your opinion. And if it's really a deal breaker issue, let's say that you just can't abide by somebody voting a certain way, then, you know, that's something you're going to have to address in the marriage, maybe even get help with. But in a dating situation, maybe it does make sense not to date somebody if you feel that strongly.
Let's go to the caller, Randall. And Randall, you're on the air.
Yeah, first of all, Dave, I heard you mention George and William F. Buckley as part of your parents' generation. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys would be considered godless commie liberals by today's MAGA cult. I mean, really. I went to high school in a small town west of San Antonio. I'm still living there. During the first Trump administration, I got into a lot of arguments with some of my high school classmates on Facebook. I mean, 85% of my high school class are probably Trump supporters. I ended up blocking a lot of people. And then, of course, January 6th happened. My 40th high school reunion was a month ago, and I'm one of a handful of people. We just skipped it. We didn't want to sit around for 3 or 4 hours and listen to Trump this and liberals that, mm-hmm. lock her up. No, it's just not worth it. I mean, it's not worth subjecting yourself to that for people who you see every 5-10 years and you barely have any contact with, you know. And last of all, what Patty said about preemptively screening out the MAGA cult on dating sites and all that, oh, yeah, I do that, too, and I know a lot of people who do that.
All right, Randall, thank you for that. It goes both ways. And with people who are very conservative, they may not want to have a relationship with someone who they would think is Antifa, you know, or whatever they want to right. call us. But, you know, if it makes life easier, if you can find somebody that you have a shared point of view, I think that's a good idea if you can get there. But, you know, don't we need other things to talk about? Why do we got to talk about politics all the time, Colette? You know, if we get together, we can talk about, you know, how great the Cowboys are, right?
Exactly. Although I'm a Giants fan, but we can agree to disagree on that one, too. But, you know, this is really what the caller said. I think this is really the crux of it, is setting some boundaries. It's okay to say to people, you know, I'd really rather not talk about this. Let's have this be a politics-free event. Let's just talk about something else. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if you set that boundary and someone won't respect it, maybe you need to walk away. But I think he was also onto something important when he said, people I only see, you know, every few years. Those relationships maybe aren't so important to him that it's really worth it to try to suffer through and figure all of that out. But when relationships are important to us, we really have to keep perspective and ask if it's worth it to let any political candidate or politics in general come between what's most important in life.
But we do have extended family. We are going to be coming together for the holidays. You know, if you've got a brother-in-law or someone else who's insisting on wearing their MAGA cap to a Thanksgiving dinner, you know, you just make it work.
I mean, if we're talking about wearing a hat to dinner, you have no control over that, right? Somebody else wearing that hat. And you maybe get curious about yourself. Why is that so intolerable? It doesn't mean you have to like it or agree with it, but that's not someone pushing their views on you or trying to change your mind. It's something you have to tolerate in the environment. And if we don't deal with anything that makes us uncomfortable, then we're going to have a very narrow, small life. However, if somebody comes to the family dinner and wants to engage in a debate, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I had my birthday and one of my friends chose to turn it into a political debate where people became very upset. Yeah, completely rude. And I could feel myself, normally I'm pretty tolerant of hearing all views. I hear it from clients all day. I could feel myself getting a little activated by some of what he was saying that, you know, quite frankly, I didn't think made any sense. But I took a breath and then I said, you know, this is my birthday and you have every right to your opinion, but let's shift focus. People are getting upset and it's just not worth it. We're all here as friends. Let's focus on having a good time and talking about other things.
How'd that work? How'd it work?
It actually worked. It worked because I had some leverage. I mean, it's my birthday, right?
Right. It's your birthday. Don't come here and ruin my birthday.
Exactly. Damn it.
So, but even in other circumstances, like, you know, I accept the fact that you have a political point of view. I respect that. I respect your intelligence. I know that your reasons why you may feel that way. And I just asking the same from you to me.
Exactly. And I think when you remind somebody you care about, when it comes to close family, when you say, you know, our relationship is really important to me, that's speaking the language of attachment. That can be very disarming, reminding someone that they matter to you. And I don't want these issues or politics to come between us. Can we agree today to just not get into that? That's not being avoidant, which you described at the beginning, you know, just sweeping it under the table or pretending like it's not a thing. That's being direct, but it's also being really caring and setting some healthy boundaries that supports the relationship.
What about when you go vote, your vote is a secret. You don't have to tell anyone who you voted for. Even if you're in a relationship with somebody who really wants to control your vote and like, we should vote together and we should vote for the same guy and all that other kind of stuff. Or you should just, you know, keep it cool and do what you got to do. And at the end of the day, you know who you are and that should be plenty.
Exactly. I think that's the greatest source of power for all of us. It's your private business. You know your values. You know why you're voting, And you don't have to explain yourself to anyone else. You know, if there are people that it's just not worth it, I have one family member that I will not be talking about my vote with at all. And that's fine with me. I don't need to. I've already set the boundary in my mind that I'm not going to go there. And I won't allow it to happen because there's no good that will come of it. But I'm not going to let it compromise the relationship either. Somebody else's views don't take away from my view because I know who I am. And I think that's the healthiest stance for all of us.
And we should set boundaries. Let's not talk politics at the family dinner or, you know, standing next to the Christmas tree. This is a no politics zone.
Exactly. And take certain issues off the table if they're too hot to touch. It's okay to do that.
And then we can remind each other, you know, that we are family and we do love each other and we're going to be there for each other, you know, regardless of political stripes.
Right. Because we have shared values outside of politics and that's what really matters.
Well, thank you so much, Colette Jane Fair, a licensed marriage and family therapist, has helped hundreds of couples work through their differences and fall back in love. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate that.
Thank you, David.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
Support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.